European Union Data Protection Supervisor, Peter Hustings, raised the possibility of repealing Europe's Data Retention Directive, which requires telecommunication companies and internet service providers to retain user data for law enforcement purposes. The directive applies to traffic and location data and the related data necessary to identify a user. Each EU member state must retain this data for a period of 6 months to 2 years from the date of the user's communication. The directive also requires each EU member state to enact procedures that grant law enforcement access to the data. According to Hustings, the directive does not provide clear guidance about why this data must be retained or who will have access to it. Similarly, Hustings believes that the directive does not sufficiently justify the necessity of the data retention, lacks foreseeability, and is overly intrusive. He also notes that statistics on access requests indicate that retention period of up to 2 years goes far beyond what is necessary. In light of these concerns, Hustings has asked the European Commission to consider all other options, including the possibility of repealing the directive. Hustings also states that this data retention interferes with the right to privacy as defined in articles of both the European Convention of Human Rights and the European Union Charter of Fundamental Rights. In his May 31st press release regarding his opinion on the European Commission's evaluation report on the Data Retention Directive, the European Data Protection Supervisor explains that this much-discussed directive requires all providers of electronic communication services to store traffic and location data of the communications for all citizens for possible use by the member states for law enforcement purposes. He also says that he has repeatedly expressed serious doubts about the necessity for retaining data on such a large scale in light of the rights to privacy and data protection. In this perspective, the Data Protection Supervisor has underlined the crucial importance of the evaluation process and called for a clear demonstration that such a measure is necessary and proportionate. After careful analysis of the evaluation report, the Data Protection Supervisor takes the view the directive does not meet the requirements imposed by the fundamental rights to privacy and data protection, mainly for the following reasons. The necessity for data retention, as provided in the directive, has not been sufficiently demonstrated. Data protection could have been regulated in a less privacy-intrusive way. The directive leaves too much scope for the member states to decide on the purposes for which the data may be used, and also for establishing who can access the data and under what conditions. The Data Protection Supervisor calls for the Commission to seriously consider all options in this further process, including the possibility of repealing the directive, whether or not combined with a proposal for an alternative, more targeted EU measure. On 26 September 2011, European Digital Rights and 37 other NGOs from 14 countries sent a letter to Commissioners Malmström, Kroes and Reding on the review of the Data Retention Directive. Civil society groups have been closely involved in consultations with the European Commission with regard to the impact assessment on and probable review of the Data Retention Directive. In their letter, European Digital Rights and 37 other NGOs contend that since the impact assessment supporting the original directive was exceptionally poor, and since this Commission has sworn a legally binding oath to respect fundamental rights, it is very important that the impact assessment address all concerns regarding the compatibility of the directive with the Charter of Fundamental Rights and the European Convention on Human Rights in particular in the light of the relevant recent case law. We remain convinced that a comprehensive impact assessment will definitely show that data retention is neither necessary for market harmonisation nor for the fight against serious crime and is, therefore, illegal. The purpose of the letter was to provide early input to the Commission in order to give maximum opportunity to take the organisation's concerns into account. The letter draws attention to the fact that the Commission has already produced a methodology for the analysis of the fundamental rights compatibility of its proposals, the Fundamental Rights Checklist, which is part of its strategy for the effective implementation of the Charter of Fundamental Rights by the European Union. In their communique informing of the sending of the letter, European Digital Rights states, "The central mistake, which we would not like to see repeated, is the fallacy that all users of retained data can be used to argue that the directive is valuable. In reality, recently generated data is more likely to be used in investigations, and such data would have been available anyway, even if the directive had never existed." The letter also draws attention to some of the core problems with the directive, such as the lack of harmonised definition of serious crime, and the far-reaching consequences of this, and the lack of harmonised approach to access and security. Issues such as the dubious necessity and proportionality of data retention in light of the rights to privacy and data protection, and the questioning of preserving the essence of the right, were also addressed in the letter. Regarding the latter, EDRI recalls that the Article 52 of the Charter of Fundamental Rights of the European Union states that limitations of fundamental rights must not restrict or reduce the right in such a way, or to such extent, that the very essence of the right is impaired. The European Court of Human Rights has ruled similarly on numerous occasions. In its evaluation report, the European Commission identified points that are peripheral to the achievement of the goals of the directive, but undermine the essence of the fundamental rights impacted by the directive. It will be impossible for the European Commission to fully respect its own fundamental rights checklist without a comprehensive analysis of the extent to which the rights in question have been undermined by the existing directive. The lack of clarity on these points make it impossible for citizens to know how their data is being stored, how it is being accessed, and for what purpose. Ironically, the directive was proposed as a measure to harmonise the approach to this policy in the European Union, even though few countries had such a policy to begin with. It managed to disharmonise the single market by forcing the policy onto 27 countries with vastly varying retention periods, rules for cost reimbursement, etc. The next step in the process for the Commission will be the preparation of an impact assessment, listing a number of different policy options and coming to the conclusion, as already been politically decided, that the directive is useful, but offering some small concessions, such as a small reduction in the maximum retention period, which will be sold as a major improvement in the deeply flawed legislation. As a matter of fact, the Commission responded to the letter sent by the European Digital Rights and 37 other NGOs on October 31st, 2011. The response from the Commission acknowledges the problems with the directive. Without being specific, Commissioner Malmström responded that the maximum retention periods need to be reduced and also pointed out that the text must be improved with regard to its clarity. She also recognised and accepted the need for a follow-up of the methodology detailed in the Fundamental Rights Checklist and that cost reimbursement for internet providers is a way of minimising access to retained traffic data. The Commissioner promises improvements to resolve two problems in the directive. The length of the maximum retention periods and the lack of clarity, and therefore predictability, of the directive. However, the recognition of these two problems implies an acceptance of doubts regarding the compliance of the current directive with the Charter of Fundamental Rights and the European Convention on Human Rights. This raises an important question. In such circumstances, how can it be appropriate to recognise the questionable legality of the directive, on the one hand, and undertake legal proceedings against Germany, Romania, and Sweden for failing to implement the directive on the other? Rather disappointingly, the Commissioner decided to answer a question which was not asked, namely, how difficult it would be to get major improvements past the Council of Ministers. While the political obstacles to an adequate resolution of the Data Retention Directive's problems are clearly massive, the current College of Commissioners took an oath as individual citizens to defend the Charter and fundamental rights. This oath was without exceptions, to cover challenging political environments. However, the subtext of the Commissioner's response of civil society is clear. Without a shift in the positions of member states, the Commission does not feel able to resolve the deep problems with data retention. This information has been provided by the Electronic Privacy Information Centre, European Digital Rights and the Office of the European Data Protection Supervisor. For further information on state of exception and human rights, as well as on civil liberties in the EU, you may visit Ekipa Niskor and Radio Niskor's related webpages. This programme has been produced by Radio Niskor at our studios in Belgium on November 25th, 2011.